find out what God's got for you here this morning. So here we are in this series about joy, and why focus on joy? Why should we talk about joy? Well, the reality is joy is one of those things that we all want. I mean, across the board, from America to Europe to Africa to Asia, wherever you go and you ask people, the number one thing that they want in their life, it's joy. It's this feeling of being able to experience the goodness of life and the goodness that we want in our own lives. And so if it's something that we all want, you would think, well, surely we're all experiencing it, right? No, we learned last week that we're not. At a very high number, we're not. And I gave you a bunch of statistics to help us kind of see the picture that though joy is something we want, it's something that many of us are missing out on in our lives and at record numbers. So what is it about joy? I mean, we need to understand this thing so that we can experience it the way that we're truly meant to experience it. Because here's the reality, because we see those numbers and we know that so many want it and so many don't have it, listen, that's why I believe that we truly do have a joy crisis in our world. And it doesn't take very long to open the newspaper or your email or the news channels or whatever, and you can see that there is a lot going on that is not bringing us joy. And a lot of things are coming out of that lack of joy. Last week we had all those statistics, and I don't want to give you any more, but there was one thing that I learned last week in studying that I think is very appropriate for us to look at and think about when we talk about joy. And it's this: the average American is in a bad mood 110 days out of the year. Now, I know what you're thinking. You don't know my wife. She's way higher than that. Yeah, my husband, man, he's busting that average on up because, we're around people and we're like, they're in a bad mood a whole lot more than 110 times a year. But the truth is that's a lot. That's a third of the year for most people is spent in a bad mood. I mean, you ever been around somebody that's just in one of them foul, nasty moods? Yeah, I see y'all looking and elbowing and all that kind of stuff right now. I'm just saying, I'm trying not to, but, it's true. We get around people like that, and man, that stuff it kind of like gets on you, doesn't it? It's rough being around people in bad moods, but we all experience it. And so we need to understand joy so that it helps us to not bring the average up. But for us, the church, those who claim to be followers of Christ, we should be able to help bring the average down. And the truth is, I don't think we are. And so let's look at this topic of joy. Let's look at this series. If you weren't here last week and you missed that, make sure you go listen to it on the website and catch up with it. Catch up with us, and so let's push through this series, and let's learn about this together. Today we're going to look at the role of community when it comes to this pursuit of joy. Joy is one of those things that we absolutely can't pursue in isolation. You're just not going to find joy by yourself. It just doesn't happen because we are wired for relationship, and God Himself created us for a relationship. And so relationship is important. We can't just do it. And so we need to understand that joy and the pursuit of it is more than just an individual thing. No, it's the pursuit of joy is a team sport. And we need to understand that. It's a team sport. It takes more than one to create joy because it's so important to us. Here's what that means. It means for joy to be a team sport, it means we all need people in our lives who are encouraging us, who are modeling joy for us, who are helping bring out the joy in our lives, helping us find things to be joyful about. And so we need to be able to do that together. There's a community dimension to joy, that when we're around others who are full of joy, there is something just like the bad mood rubs off on us. Well, guess what? The joy of a joyful mood rubs off on us as well. Even though we don't like to be around those people at the moment, The reality is the more joyful people we're around, the more joy we'll experience in our lives. Yesterday, I was here working a little bit on my message and in my office, and I happened to look out the window, and I caught the police car go by that was leading out the Moonlight 5K and movie that they were doing over here at the drive-in. So they went and ran 3 miles and came and watched the movie. I don't get the point, but that's okay. It's a cool thing, I guess. But they went and ran, if I go run 3 miles, I'm going to nap. So I don't know. But anyway, so they ran 3 miles, came back, watched the nap, and that was it. So, but as I'm watching out my window, I happen to see the police car go by, and then, of course, here comes the first runner, and, you know, he's all off by himself, you know, showing off or whatever. And hopefully he's not here this morning or listens to this podcast. But anyway, so he's all out, you know, it's just jealousy, I'm just being honest. But he's all out relieving everybody. Of course, there was a few people close to him on that direction, on this direction, not so close. But anyway, so he gets out there, but then along comes groups of people. And it was easy to see within those groups of people that there were people running together. They were encouraging one another. I mean, there would be like one fit person and one not so fit person. You know, people like me, you know, had somebody fit running with them to help encourage them. You know, maybe they were new CPR, I don't know. But anyway, they were running alongside of them, encouraging them. You know, and so it was a really neat thing to see that, because we need to encourage one another in this run that we have called life. And that was a great example of it. In the Old Testament, there were all kinds of times where we see community become so vitally important to the lives of the people. We would see a great link between community and joy in the Old Testament. There were so many times where it talked about festivals and feasts together, where the people came together and they would gather around the table, just hanging out. They would eat together and drink together and just celebrate all kinds of things. Mostly the most important thing was that they would celebrate the goodness of God. And when you read the Old Testament scriptures about those festival and feasts, it's amazing to look and see the detail and the energy that God put into making sure that the instructions were there for the people to make sure that they did these things right, that they got the most out of them. He wanted to make sure that when they came together to celebrate, that they were there encouraging each other and making sure that everything was in place. In fact, he even made sure that their finances were in place. See, sometimes we come together and we celebrate, but we go in debt, right? Anybody had a kid, a daughter get married yet? Yeah, you probably went in debt, right? Because it just happens. So lots of times we come together like that, but God wanted to make sure even that their money was good when they came together. Here's what he said about their community together as they celebrated his goodness. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 26. And now, listen, we get a rap around here that we don't use the King James Version. Okay, I'm just saying that, you know, there's some churches that's the only version. So I just want you to know we do use the King James Version. All right, so here it is. Watch. We're going to do it. There. So this is going to be the King James Version of Deuteronomy 14:26. So now we use the King James Version and we can move on. Anyway, so, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. Ameneth, right? Now, let me make sure you understand, the King James Version is amazing to read. It's beautiful to read. It's just hard for us to understand. That's the only reason that we don't typically use it. There's no knock on it. It's amazingly good, and I love some of the ways that it addresses those facts. But when you read it, it is a little hard to read. It's a lot of thous and these and thines and ests and all that kind of stuff. But some of you heard me read that, and you're like, wait a minute. That's in the Bible? If I'd have known that stuff was in the Bible, I might have come to church a long time ago. Because there's some lusteth and some drinketh. And there's some whatsoevereth, and there's some good stuff in those scriptures, because here's all the stuff that I've been looking for, and there it is. It says, I can do it. Just whatever I desireth, I can do. Now, make sure that you understand that this is God telling the people how to celebrate. He's not opening and giving us a license to do whatever we want. But it's in here to help us understand that when it came to community and to us coming together to celebrate, that God wants us to enjoy each other. That there is a community aspect to joy that can only be found when we come together. Whether we're believers in Christ, whether we're wanderers, we're just kind of out there not sure about this whole God thing, when we come together, there is a way that we can worship together that is unlike any other group of people. And it's because of why and who we celebrate. And so here is this God laying it out, community, joy. We are to come together and experience that together. In Nehemiah, we again see this link between community and joy. The connection between the scripture we're going to look at is that the Israelites have come back after their Babylonian capture and captivity. They are now back. Nehemiah has led them to build the wall back up to protect the city. And so it's there for them now. They have this protection in place. But there's something even more important that they need to do, and that's to understand God's word and to hear it and allow it to be the thing that guides their life, just like it should be for us. And so we see Nehemiah and Ezra, the priest here, and they're beginning to read and talk to them. And here's what it says in Nehemiah 8, verse 9. It says, "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.' For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" Here's Nehemiah and Ezra making sure the people understand the word of God. And he's making sure that they get this picture. Listen, the people were mourning because they were understanding their sin. They were being convicted of their sin. And we've been digging through some pretty rough subjects on holiness and everything else. And some people, you know, have come and said, I got to confess some stuff. And I'm you know, there was mourning going on because of their sin. And rightly so. Nehemiah and Ezra weren't telling the people, don't mourn your sin, because listen, our sin should make us sad. It should grieve us that we've broken God's standard and we've done things that go against him. That should grieve us. But the reality is that grief and mourning for our sins is a natural response and a necessary response, but it's not the only response. Here's why. We should mourn it. We should be sad about it. But the reality is that the other reason, or the other thing that we should do, is we should rejoice. We should have joy despite our sin. Here's why. We should be able to be joyful. It's not because of our sin. It's not to celebrate our sin, but it's to celebrate what God's done about our sin. It's to celebrate what he's done and how he's dealt with our sin. You see, if you're a believer in Christ, if you've come to a place that you've confessed your sin and acknowledged Jesus as the one who died on the cross, paying the price for your sins, then listen, you can rejoice because you're forgiven of your sin. And because he died on the cross and was buried and raised again on the third day, then you can understand you're forgiven, but then you're also forgiven for eternity. That you're given and you get to spend eternity in heaven with him because you've made that decision to accept him. It's quiet. Here's the reality, y'all. Because you can accept Jesus and be saved and forgiven of your sins, you get to spend eternity in heaven and have a relationship with God. Thank you. Like, that's a good thing. You can celebrate that, and you can have joy about that, because that is the grace and God of God poured out over our sin for us. Now listen, that doesn't mean that we get to go out and just, then once we're saved, hey, we can just go out and live life and do whatever, and just who cares about what the Bible said? Who cares about what God's standard is anymore? Who cares about all that? That doesn't give us a right to do that. Because we still sin. We still fall short of that, and we still need to confess it. But the reality is acknowledging that our sins have been paid allows us to know that we can spend forever in His presence. The good thing about that is joy comes knowing that we together are able to celebrate that. Nehemiah and Ezra were making sure the people understood, and these feasts and festivals were a reminder of God's grace that He had shown towards His people. And they had allowed people to come together and experience this joy and fellowship and encouragement, knowing that this has happened. Of course, in the Old Testament, they didn't have Jesus paying the price, but they had a relationship with God, and God had made them His chosen people, and there were opportunities for them to know that they could have that kind of relationship with Him. So here's the reality that we get to experience joy together in community. When we do that, we then pass on to the next generation the knowledge and the ability for them to choose for themselves to have the same reason to celebrate. That they can understand that God is the source of joy and that there's always something to be joyful about. Listen, one of the reasons that people aren't celebrating, and I believe one of the reasons that our kids are leaving church at alarming rates is the fact that we've stopped celebrating that together as a generation. The generation before us began to do it less. And now our generation is doing it less. And so the generations under us are going to do it even less. So it's important for us to come together and celebrate the reasons we have to be joyful. We need to eat together more, y'all. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, we need to hang out together. We need to experience community together and make sure that we understand that there is a reason to be excited. There is a reason to be joyful because of what Jesus has done for us. In Christ, we've been provided an opportunity to be protected from our ultimate eternal consequences. See, I think about Nehemiah. He had built a wall for protection around the people. And what he was saying to these people is that the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, He's not only the strength, but He's our protection. And when we understand that there is a protection not just for our joy, but there's a protection for our eternity, wrapped up in who Jesus is and what He did for us. There's a reason to celebrate. The festivals reminded the people to not let the brokenness of this world drown out the joy that they were meant to experience in their lives. And we've let so many of those go by the wayside. We need to experience that together so that our joy can grow and be enjoyed. The people needed the reminders in this time because life always sometimes kept them from experiencing joy. And we need to be able to do that together. All of us are much like the Israelites. They found themselves over and over again in these periods of time where they just couldn't experience joy. You know, in the time in the wilderness, you know, they had just been freed from 400 years of captivity, but as they wander through, they're like grouchy and mad, and they want to even go back to captivity because they think it would be better there. They weren't finding the joy of what God wanted for them. They were focused in on the negative. And all of us can be just like those Israelites, where we begin to have periods of time where we find it difficult to experience joy. Times where we have allowed the world to begin to drown out that joy in our lives. And those times are called joy gaps. We affectionately call them joy gaps. And here's what a joy gap is. It's a season of life when the world drowns out your joy. It's a period of time where things that happen in life come along and they become louder and more noisy than the joy we're meant to experience. It's when the struggles of life, it's when the difficulties of life. It's when the hassles of life and the failures of life become so much louder and noisier than the joy that we're meant to experience. And all of us go through that. I think those 110 days, those are periods, those are gaps in our joy. And so we find ourselves experiencing that. And it happens in every one of our relationships. I mean, think about it. If you're a married couple in here, there's been joy gaps in your marriage, no matter how long and how good. In fact, the longer, probably the more there are. There's just gaps where it's hard to find joy. You know, there's financial issues, there's kid issues, there's all kinds of things that happen. And joy's hard to come by. In friendships, there's gaps in the joy of the friendship because, you know, things, you know, don't go the way you want or whatever. And so there's gaps in it. There's gaps in our joy, gaps in our work. Where, you know, we're overwhelmed with work and we just, you know, we hate our job and everything. It's hard to find joy in it. There's gaps in everything that we do. And so we need to understand that we have to come through this. And so community is a vital key. Community brings joy when we desperately need it. Community brings joy when we desperately need it. So we need others outside of our situation. We need others who hopefully have experienced our situation, at least in some way, and can help us to understand how to experience joy in it. A couple weeks ago, I had breakfast with a friend who's going through some difficult times, and he's just had some rough times and made some bad choices and different things. And so we're able to sit down at the table, and I'm able to tell him my story. That I can't tell the details all the time and all that kind of stuff, but just to be able to share some details of my past and different things, because, see, I'd been telling him, hey, I understand. I understand what you're going through, and I know what you feel like. And we often hear people say that, hey, I know what you mean, I know what you're going through, and, man, you post something, you know, kind of a struggle of yours on Facebook, and you got like 20 different people that tell you about their struggle, and you know, they all kind of know, you know, they're kind of saying, I know what you mean, and all this stuff, but you really, do they really know what you mean? Do they really know the details? They know what it feels like to be in that place, and I was able to look at this friend and say, I do know, and here's why I know. And I was able to lay out, he never knew that I could really know that kind of thing with him. And so as I'm sharing that with him, he really began to understand that I really do know how he feels, and I really do know what he's going through. And so I was able to encourage him through that. And listen, you need to understand, and you need to know that community brings that kind of, even though that's a tough situation, that kind of situation, knowing that somebody understands, can bring great joy to us when we're going through the tough stuff of life. And you need to be able to have that, to be able to have people that come alongside you and encourage you and to have joy, to know that there is something on the other side, that you can make it through it. And so we need to have joy. Community brings that when we desperately need it. I was reading a research article this week that came out, and it's titled, The 10 Things That Science Says Will Make You Happy. Now, I'm not a big science guy, you know, because I don't believe science is what makes you happy. But here's the reality. I was kind of caught by that. And I began to read it, and I became very intrigued by the article. Here's why. 10 things that science says will make you happy, 9 out of the 10 have biblical roots. They had 9 out of 10 were like right there. I could almost quote the scripture exactly word for word and tell you where it was. Because the reality is, it's not science that makes us happy. It's joy from God and through his people that brings us happy. Here's some of them. To rest. The Sabbath, right? That we're to rest. Rest makes us happy. The Sabbath is right there. God says we need to take a break. We need to have that Sabbath in our lives. There to have money and a low priority in our lives. Pretty biblical, right? We talk about that all the time. Be content with what you have. To do something that matters. Man, how many times have I preached on that, right? To say thank you and really mean it. Gratitude. The Bible's full of that. Generosity. Being willing to open up and relax your fist around your money. You know, generosity, giving to others. And then the next two are pretty interesting to me because they're probably the two that I struggle with the most. The first one is this, to be childlike. Now, I didn't say to be childish, okay? Some of us can be pretty good at that, right? No elbows or don't look, okay? But we can be pretty childish. But I'm talking about being childlike. To play. To have a good time. To cut up. You know, it's one of the things I love about, like, our men's group. You know, we get together on Monday nights. We would get together mostly at Domino's during football season. That was really cool. But we would do some silly stuff, and we'd act like a bunch of kids in there sometimes. But it was kind of cool because, you know, we were just having fun together. I tried to find a video of one guy playing the drums on his belly, but I couldn't find it, or you would have seen it. But, you know, it's just kind of silly stuff. And sometimes, you know, I struggle with it. I struggle with not being serious all the time. You know, some people have said on Sunday morning, like, I'm kind of hard to approach sometimes. And listen, please don't take that as anything else, but I'm just focused. And I'm serious about what I do. This is a big deal. This is eternity to me, as far as somebody's eternity and how I approach what goes on, how God uses me. So I get a little serious about that. Don't be afraid to come up and grab me and shake me, though, and just say, hey, dude, slow down. But we need to be more childlike. We need to get over ourselves and know that God wants to use us, and he wants us to have joy. And sometimes us trying to be all mature and serious, really it's sin. Because we're being somebody that we're not. And we're trying to be in control when God should be the one in control. And we need to be more childlike. The second one is this, and it kind of comes along with that. It's that we need to laugh more. We do. We need to laugh more. I mean, isn't there something about laughter that kind of like just brings you along? And it just makes you feel like, it makes you feel good when you're around people that are laughing. I mean, take for instance, doesn't this laugh make you want to laugh too?
She just loves it.
I mean, one of those, like, you know, all two teeth of it and just let it go. You know what I mean? You know, some of you can identify. I'm just kidding. No. Just seriously, it's wrong county. I know. So anyway, I didn't say anything. Okay. So just laugh. You know, just let yourself go. You know, one of those laughs till you choke and cough. I mean, it just go. It's just good for us. We need to do it more. Quit taking yourself so serious. And let yourself just have some fun. We need to be able to do that. When we get around laughing people, man, we just want to laugh. Community brings joy when we desperately need it. The other thing I saw from this article was how important community is to the level of joy that we experience. To be joyful, we need more than just a bunch of people that are just hanging around us. We need to be able to have some close, intimate friends. And listen, maybe you're here today and you're like, I just don't have any friends. Let me tell you, you can come hang out with me. I'll be your friend. But let's don't sit around and not have friends, because it's part of having joy. If you're not experiencing friendship on a close level that you can really be honest with somebody and just open with them and just hang out with them and just know that you don't have to be anything but who you are, then listen, you're missing out on a piece of joy that is so vital for who God wants you to be. We need to be able to have that with each other. Listen, every Batman needs a Robin. Every Frodo needs a Sam. You know, every David needs a Jonathan. Every Paul needs a Barnabas. Every Ron needs an Eddie. Listen, Pastor Eddie is one of my greatest encouragers. He encourages me all the time. And man, I just tell you, there were some days where I've had joy gaps, and he's come along and been right there at the right moment to encourage me, to keep me going. We all need to have that in our lives. And we need to be that for other people. We need to make sure that we're bringing ourselves along and experience joy fully through the relationships that we have. Because here's the reality. Community brings joy when we desperately need it. And community gives joy when others desperately need it. It gives joy when others desperately need it. That story of Paul and Barnabas, man, that was the one where Paul, you know, he had gone from being Saul, this persecutor and murderer of Christians, this hater of people who followed Christ, to have an experience with Jesus to where he changed and becomes a Christian and a follower of Jesus. In fact, Jesus changed his name. He was so different. Becomes Paul. And so Paul here is he shouts sharing the gospel. And he's telling people how to come to Jesus. And the religious leaders come in and they're kind of skeptical of Paul because here he is, the one that killed him before, and now he's one of them kind of thing. And so people were having a hard time believing him. And now they've called him in and say, listen, you've changed, but you're doing this wrong. And you need to tell them differently about how to come to Christ, that they got to be a Jew first and all this stuff. And Barnabas comes alongside of Paul and encourages him and says, you know what, I'm your friend, and I'm going to go through. And he goes in with Paul before the religious leaders, and he steps up for him. See, community, it brings joy, and it gives joy when others desperately needed it. Paul needed Barnabas in his life. And though later they would kind of go their own way in ministry, the reality is that God put them there together so that Paul could experience his joy fully, even through that difficult time in his life. We need people like that in our lives. See, the name Barnabas itself means son of encouragement. And we need people to be that kind of encourager in our lives. I hope that you have that kind of person. In fact, here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to mess with that encourager in your life. I want you to do this. I want you to walk up to them, and I want you to say to them, you are a son of encouragement. And before you get to encouragement, they're going to already have this picture in the head of what you're about to call them, and it's going to be like this huge shock. You just got to have a little fun with them, all right? If they're in the room, it's already ruined, but hopefully you might have somebody outside, and you just go have fun with them, okay? And watch their face when you lay that out for them. But the reality is we need somebody in our lives to call a son of an encouragement. We need it, and we need to be that person. Others need to be able to depend on us to be an encourager as well. We need to be able to do that. Husbands, you need to be an encourager for your wife. You need an encourager. I'll just confess, I'm not the best at it. But I've been convicted of it this week for sure. I need to encourage my wife better. But we need to encourage our wives. We need to let them know how much we appreciate them. We need to let them know how much they mean to us. We need to, maybe today you're kind of questioning that whole thing. Does she really mean? Maybe today if you would encourage her more, you wouldn't have to ask yourself that question. Wives, you need to encourage your husbands. You need to encourage them. You need to lift them up. You need to make them feel good about where they're at. They may be going through a joy gap that you don't even know about. You need to pick them up and lift them up and make sure they understand how much you appreciate them. They need an encourager, not a nag bag, whatever. They don't need to be nagged anymore. They need to cut it out. Quit pointing out all the stuff that they do wrong. Quit pointing out all the stuff they hadn't done that you asked them to do. Just write them a list. Tell them, I love, give them, you know, give them a poop sandwich. Hey, I really love you. You didn't do this, but I really love you. That's a, you know, that's one of those things. Give it to them, but make sure that they understand first how much you love them and how much you care about them at the end. Encourage them. If there's more encouragement between husbands and wives, listen, I think one of the things we would see is the divorce rate would begin to decline. Because we've forgotten to do that. We've gotten so focused on all the wrong stuff that we've not allowed community to bring joy to us. We're to complete each other. And that means that we're to be part of completing each other's joy. Now, we know that only Jesus can fully complete it. But we know that we're there to complete each other. And so we need to be able to do that for one another. When we go through a joy gap, we tend to isolate ourselves. Maybe you see that in your marriage. Maybe you see that with your friends. But we tend to isolate ourselves and focus on the negative. She's not here this morning, so I can pick on her. This whole week, every morning and every afternoon, when I've got in the car with my 12-year-old Allie, she begins to go through the list of negative stuff. Everything's negative. And so before she can even get that whole first sentence, because it's already negative, I'm just saying, so what happened good today? And she'll tell me one halfway good thing and go right back into the negative. I'll say, so what else happened good today? And so I'm just kind of like hammering on her about it, because she's allowed herself to just get into, to kind of focus on the negative. And I want to encourage her to be positive. Listen, I've had to do that with some adults lately too. Guess what? I've had to have some adults do that to me too. We need that. We need to encourage each other, not get focused on the negative, not to get isolated, but come in and focus on it. When we focus on the negative, listen, that gap, that joy gap, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so it begins, when we begin to come in with joy and have an encourager in our lives, we can begin to see that gap get smaller and smaller and smaller. We can make it through and do more than we ever thought when we have that encourager in our lives, that person that's willing to get in our face and just say, come on, you can do it. You can do it. I had a flashback to Waterboy right there, so if you've ever seen it. Anyway, sorry, I ruined a bad moment in my own head, you know. Anyway, you can do it. Anyway, so... See, some of y'all have seen it too. So, but you can. You can do it. You know, even Waterboy had an encourager, okay? So we need to be able to do that for each other. When we have that encourager, listen, we can make it through things that we never thought we could make it through.
It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! 2 more! 1 more!
It's gotta be 50. It's gotta be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Oh, tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
So who's next? Let me tell you, follower of Christ, you are the most influential person in this world, most influential in your world. You have the ability to share with the people around you the greatest source of joy, the only source of joy that exists. And we need to be able to get down and get in each other's faces and encourage each other to be willing to live that out and to share that with every single person we come in contact with. Listen, when we get down, that's what the world sees. When we let ourselves get in a joy gap and we don't let people around us to encourage us, we don't let people come up beside us and help us along, when we don't do that for others, we allow the world to see that the source of joy really doesn't exist. And so you have to ask yourself, does that source exist for you? And if he does, And if he's in your life and he's all that you've claimed for him to be, then you have to choose to be encouraged and to be an encourager. Don't just try to make it to the 50. Just go with all you got as far as God tells you to go. We need to be able to encourage one another to experience joy that makes this world want what we have. But I think we've missed that. But the good news is it's not too late. You have the opportunity this day, because remember we talked about last week, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day we're promised. We have the opportunity this day to begin to live with that kind of joy by being encouraged by one another and to encourage those that we come in contact with. That means you might need to treat the girl in the drive-thru a little bit different today. That means you might need to give your waitress a little bit more grace at the restaurant. That means you might need to smile at your neighbor and just at least let them think you love them, okay? It means that we need to be able to come alongside each other and pull each other along so that we can run this race the way that God's called us to. And that's experiencing grace and joy together. So maybe you're here today and you don't know what this joy thing is all about and all that. Then let me just tell you, the source of joy is having Jesus in your life. To understand that he died on the cross to pay the price for your sins, that he was buried and on the third day was raised again so that you and I could be forgiven and we can be set free and we can have our relationship with God restored for all of eternity. Maybe today that's your choice, that you need to accept that. Maybe today you've made that decision and you're good, but you've just have a hard time experiencing joy. Then let me ask you today to allow yourself to be encouraged by the people around you and to begin to encourage others. What's your choice going to be today? May we pray together. God, we ask that today that you would just be very evident in this place. I believe that you are right now, but I pray that you would be very evident in the hearts and lives of the people here. That God, that you would have a freedom in our hearts to be able to do whatever it is that you want to do in us. God, I believe that the church itself, not just this church, but your church, struggles with being a great example of joy. And so God, today I pray that as followers of you, that we would commit ourselves to following you at all costs. To know that there is a day coming when our joy in you will be made fully complete, and that we'll experience you for all that you are. But God, while you have us here, you have a purpose for us to share your word with those around us that need to hear it, and for those around us that need to be encouraged by it. So God, may we take that task seriously. For those that are here that have never accepted you as Savior, God, I pray this would be the moment. That they won't put it off any longer, that today would be the day. And that God, I pray in these moments that you would change all of us to make us more like you so that we may experience your joy and your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.